Blog Talk Radio.
Hey yo, what's up, what's up? Let's keep it real, son. Count this money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey yo, put the grants over there in the safe, you know what I'm saying? Cause we're spinning these Jacksons. The Washingtons go to wifey, you know how that goes.
I'm saying that's what this is all about, right? Clothes, bank rolls, and hoes, you know what I'm saying? Yo, then what, man? Then what?
Visualizing the realism of life and actuality. Fuck who's the baddest. Personal status depends on salary, and my mentality is money orientated. I'm destined to live the dream for all my peeps who never made it, cause yeah, we were beginners in the hood as 5%ers, but something must have got in us, cause all of us turn to sinners. Now some resting in peace and some are sitting in San Quentin. Others such as myself are trying to carry on tradition, keeping this weapon resting, speak ghetto essence to spot us, cause it provides us with the proper insight to guide us. Even though we know somehow we all gotta go, but as long as we leave and even, we'll be leaving with some kind of dope. So into that day we and turn the vapors, me and my capers. I'll be somewhere stacking plenty papers, keeping it real, packing still, getting high. Cause life's a bitch and then you die. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we puff lie, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we get high, cause you never know when you're gonna go. Life's a bitch and then you die. That's why we puff lie.
All right, and good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Derek Felix Show here on the Hard Hits Network of Block Talk Radio. This is the one and only D-Flex here. A little bit of Nas from the classic Illmatic album featuring AZ, Life's a Bitch, and Then You Die. So, seems like that's become like my lead-off theme lately, so going a little bit old school. Going back to 94, classic year for hip-hop and rap, obviously, and going back to that Illmatic album, great album right there. Yeah, I had that on cassette. So this is the one and only D-Flex here in the His Eyes here, over here in Shaolin, Staten Island, New York. What's up, everybody? Got a nice show for you tonight. About an hour. We're just doing an hour live. Not that that matters, because we usually go extra. Because it is a podcast. And if you want to stream the show, you could stream it here online. You could stream it at blocktalkradio.com/hardhits21. And you could stream any of our shows online. Catch anything you missed. Or you could download on iTunes, download the podcast on the iTunes, and you can listen anytime you want. All right, so this is the one and only Derek Felix here. The Derek Felix Show. You know, we might be coming to a decision, actually, pretty soon. I'm thinking maybe about making a change of the name of the show. So we shall see. We've changed the name of the show before, but we'll see what happens there. So it is a December the 12th, actually. It actually really is. I celebrated my birthday on December 8th. That was interesting in itself. Didn't do too much, not much to do. Celebrated at home with the family. Kind of wish that they didn't get me a cake, to be honest. I don't need it, but I don't think I'll be having any cake anytime soon again. I'm not going to be a cake eater like Adam Banks from Mighty Ducks. I did see, actually, that they're actually going to come out with another Disney movie, you know, involving the Mighty Ducks and Emilio Estevez with Lauren Graham. I don't know. I mean, it's probably going to be cheesy, but you know what? I mean, they want to pass on a new era of Mighty Ducks, then why the heck not? I'll probably watch it because I happen to like the Mighty Ducks movies. Of course, I think the first was the best. I don't think it got any better than the Mighty Ducks when they first came out in 1992. And it's pretty ironic that, you know, a team basically was based off that Disney movie. the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and I wish they had stayed the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. I don't like the Anaheim Ducks. I don't like the fact that they, like, it's like they're like embarrassed of their history. Now they're starting to recognize their history, and they're having throwback jerseys or whatever. But I don't know. I always thought like their original logo was pretty freaking cool. So, and I really like the Mighty Ducks. That green and yellow or green and gold jersey too from the movie. So, so that's interesting in itself. It's a little different than talking about the usual stuff. So low-key birthday, that's all right for me. Low-key because of how things are anyway, and I'm kind of a low-key person. You know, everybody thinks that I'm this, I don't know, everybody thinks I'm something that I'm not. But I'm here to tell you that I'm not that person. Not really. I do sometimes kind of be a little outlandish with some of the things I say. That is true. But also, I think that I'm a lot more grounded as well. And I'm not really somebody that's going to be out. I'm not going to be doing all the crazy things I used to do. Let's just put it that way. Yeah. I don't need like a big party. I don't need to be seen at a club. Not that there's going to be any clubs open anytime soon or a bar. I'm not that person. If I go to a bar, if that ever happens in the future, maybe it'll just be to shoot the shit, because I don't really drink anymore, with the exception of a little bit of wine. That's what happens when you get older. So, you got to kind of watch things, you know, one step at a time. But this is a nice format. Gives me a chance to express myself and my opinions. If you want more where I express myself and feature new artists. It seems like I do a lot more music, and I do a lot more on that front than anything else, or poetry, some of the other stuff that I do, or even life itself. Follow my blog. My blog's pretty good. I update it pretty regularly. Although I missed a couple. I actually had a little bit of a downturn after my birthday, around my birthday. But that is hittingback21. .wordpress.com. Check it out. I think you'll be surprised. My life does not revolve around sports. It's nice. The show has been mostly about sports for long ass time. Been around since what, 2007, I think. I think that's when I started this whole thing, a little after Dan Wheeler, one of our frequent guests who I spoke to. He relocated to North Carolina. So it is what it is. I don't need to always be about sports. Of course. A lot of big sports coming up, a lot of football, obviously, even with the coronavirus and the vaccine that's on the horizon, the Pfizer vaccine. They claim that it is 95% effective. So what happens to the 5%? What happens to the other 5%? Is that just like, do they count for anything or no? How could you make light of that, Derek? Because I just have to. It's my personality to wonder about that 5%. I thought the whole point of having a vaccination is that it'd be 100% effective. But then, of course, the first people that are getting it are the elderly. And, I see Queen Elizabeth is on the online or in line for it. We always say online in New York, but it's really in line.
We're not online. Are we on? Oh, that's right. I'm online. We're really in line. Like, if you're waiting, like, if you're like, I don't know. I haven't gone to any ShopRites or any of those places since like January, since January or February. But if you're maybe Trader Joe's might be worth going to in an off peak hour this weekend. I don't know. But like, I go to CVS a lot. But if you're like waiting at a checkout or whatever. And sometimes, and I think I like about CVS, especially the 24-hour one, like they even added it to the one over here, and now they're open until midnight, is that you could check out yourself. You don't have to wait for a friggin' person, or they don't even have many people working anymore at these places. So it's just like, I'd rather just, and it's pretty easy to do. I don't usually get too many things. So I'll usually use my CVS, like coupons that I get, extra care coupons, and save on extra box, or coupon for if I need like nasal spray for my allergies. I have been getting allergy shots. I've had that 4 weeks in so far. I get 4 shots, 2 in each arm. These are not exactly. I used to get allergy shots when I was a kid, so, and I got them until I was just out of college. So it doesn't have any effect. But, I don't know. I mean, everybody says online. No, you're in line. I mean, I remember having this discussion with one of my, someone that I used to be really close to. I'm still friendly with her, but like, we kind of drifted apart after I moved back here from Connecticut. Partially, I think it was more my fault, to be honest. I sent her a card, and we, you know, it's funny. Our birthdays are 2 days apart. Hers is December 6th, mine is December 8th. I wished her a happy birthday. She wished me a happy birthday, so that's good. I would like to reconnect. You only get one chance at certain things. And sometimes when you're younger, you think you want more and more than you what you thought. Yeah, I wanted a little more than I bargained for. Maybe I made some mistakes. You have to learn from your mistakes, though. Her friendship and the friendships that you have are important ones. So, yeah, I mean, this show is not about sports at all right now, but that's okay. I don't even know if anybody's going to call in. 516-531-9641. I kind of did this last minute. Why? Because I had a bad day, and I showered, and I shaved. I had to get rid of the beard. It was just, it had been basically a week, you know. I don't usually wait that long. If it's like 4 days or 5 tops, I'm like, I got to get rid of this damn thing. Yeah, once you hit, you know, your 40s, man, in there, I don't want to have a gray beard. I mean, that's just not something that appeals to me. I don't know. I mean, even though the one thing that appeals is getting back into the gym, so I'm going to do that tomorrow. Okay. 516-531-9641. This is Hard Hits. This is Derek Felix. And I don't know why Brian said no. Because he had to. Okay. Brian said he might call in. He might not call in. I don't know what that means. You know, with Brian out in the California area, that's right. He's in no zone area where you can't even go out. So, I mean, you could at least do that here in New York. You could still do that, believe it or not. Yeah, even in Staten Island. Even with a lot of the COVID positives and the orange zone that we're technically in because of all the idiots that live in Tottenville area. I said idiots. They are. I'd say it, but they are. There are a lot of them are idiots. But I want to also say that when you have a imbecile for a governor who is a two-timing fraud, you know, going after our borough, Staten Island, because it's the in thing to do, and just the way he terms things, it's just embarrassing. You're an embarrassment to your father. That's all I'm going to say about Cuomo. He's an embarrassment to his father. And his brother is a freaking fraud. It's because he works for the corrupt news network. Get the fuck out of here. Really. I don't want to make this political, but, like, you're not being – when you say stuff, some of the stuff you said, and I understand that we have – our percentage is pretty high when it comes to the number of deaths for the coronavirus. You just don't want to generalize. You don't want to do that as a leader. You know, there's a lot of good people that live out here that follow the rules. And I think that's just very bad leadership. And that's all I'm trying to say here on this show. All right. Let's switch gears as they get this vaccination approved. FDA approved. Authorized. I think that's the right word. Dan, I was speaking to Dan about that earlier. Dan is now in North Carolina. I think that's a good thing for him. He got to hang out with Colin. That sounds like it was a very good experience for him. So, football game this weekend, that actually means something. Yeah, but it's like I'm guarded about it because I know that playing the Arizona Cardinals and for the New York Giants, everybody calls them the football Giants, but they're really the New York Giants. Okay, the old New York Giants have not been here since 1957. Okay, so they're the New York Giants. Okay, they're the only Giants that play, even though they play in New Jersey technically, in East Rutherford. I've been there before. I just want to be careful about this game because we still don't know Daniel Jones's status. It's not a guarantee. It's not a lock that he's on the plane. It's not a lock. I know that the Cardinals, with their talent, they have lost 3 straight games. They're kind of playing themselves out of – they might be playing themselves out of the wild card race. So it's a pretty big game for them, too. I know that Kyler Murray has some injuries, not all 100%, a little bit of a bad shoulder, not running as much, and even DeAndre Hopkins, the quote-unquote best receiver in football, you're saying he's not 100%. But I know the Giants come in and they've won 4 in a row. And everybody will say, well, who did they beat? Well, they beat the – you know what? We're not even going to get into who they beat. You know what? They beat the Seahawks last week, and that was a huge win. They held Russell Wilson in that offense with DK Metcalf and the other good receiver that I like. And Carson was back, and they held them to 10 points. And that was some statement by the Giants. Some statement. Because if Colt McCoy had to come back from double digits, there's no way he could have. Huh. I mean, if that wasn't a safety and that was a touchdown recovery in the end zone on the bad snap, it would have been huge trouble for the Giants. That would have been big problems for the Giants. They would have been down 10-0, 9-0 with the PAT to follow. Instead, they were down 5-0. And then they came back and they dominated the second half. And Wayne Gallman, we know about the 135 he got on the ground. We know about all the rushing yards that they had, the Giants. We know about Alfred Morris, the reemergence of Alfred Morris. I can't believe he still plays football, and he got 2 touchdowns. And Colt McCoy threw for what? A buck five, a buck eight. Didn't matter, though. But he did what he was supposed to do. He managed the game. And the defense played great. And they have some guys that really can make plays on this defense. So when you talk about Jabril Peppers, or you talk about Bradbury, who's playing like one of the best corners in the league. And you talk about Reclamation Project that Gettleman took a chance on, Leonard Williams, and he picked up the option. Everybody said, well, you're nuts. It's not worth $13.5 million. Well, now it's up to 8.5 sacks. He had 2.5 sacks last week. He sacked Russell Wilson 5 times. And Russell Wilson lost big yards. And there are some big play guys on this team. And Gettleman deserves some credit for some of the additions that he made. So, you know what? It has come together. I mean, I know that initially there were the hire of Shermer was just, it was a misfire. And sometimes that happens. But at least they were smart enough to realize, all right, we gave him a second year, and this is just not working out. And they just, all right, they canned him. They canned him. And they brought in Jill Judge, and it was highly, and Belichick gave him a really great recommendation. And everybody thought that they would bring in the guy who wound up with Carolina. I can't think of the name right now. And he's done a solid job without Christian McCaffrey. But guy from Baylor. But you know what? When they were losing all the games, when they were breaking our hearts with the way they lost to the Eagles, blowing that game, the way they lost to the Bucks when they totally outplayed them and exposed them, and they lost to the Cowboys early, and they could throw a couple others in there. I listened to Judge. I still was listening to his post games, and he never got too low. He never got too high. Of course, he has gotten too high when they've been winning. You know what it is with him? He just seems to get it. He sounds like a man in charge. He sounds like a guy that's respected by everybody in that locker room. Even with Daniel Jones, all the turnovers that he had before the injury. And I'm hoping that he'll be back for Sunday. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be back in 34 and a half hours when they kick off. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge game. I mean, they are tied with Washington at 5-7 for the division lead. They did beat Washington twice, so they do have that tie break. The problem is that Washington's got a better schedule. They got a more favorable schedule, I should say that. I don't want to say better. This is the NFL. Anything could happen in the NFL. If you watch the 49ers and you watch them against the Bills, they inspire a lot. And even though Washington is going to play at San Francisco, I fully expect Washington to win that game. Whereas I know that they're going up against the Arizona team that's been slumping lately, but they have some playmakers on that team. And I don't care what Kyler Murray's status is. I know how good he is. I don't care about Hopkins' status, him not having a 100-yard receiving game in a while. I just know how lethal he is. And I know how hard a job it will be for Bradbury matching up. I know that Jabril Peppers, when that trade was made with the Odell trade and Odell, once again, just rehashing just why they traded him, where he's just bitching and moaning, complaining about how the Giants didn't do what they should have done under Shermer. Like, you know what? You're out for the season. You're upset because you're not able to contribute to the Browns one iota, and they're going to the playoffs unless they just totally fold. And your former team just got flexed into a game into a night game against the Browns, and you're not part of the story. So you know what? It just proves what a fraud and a phony he is, and I don't got anything else to add to that. I also want to give some praise out to Logan Ryan. What an experienced and great addition he's been. So they made some real good additions, and even guys that you wouldn't expect. Nico Lalas, 2 for 2, a interception for a touchdown, a pick six, and a fumble recovery. 2 in 2 weeks. All right, let's bring to our line. He's on with us now. From now the North Carolina area, and he could tell us more about how things are going now that he's not even a weekend yet, but he's getting settled still, originally from the Florida area. Now Carolina. He's Carolina-born. And, oh, Matt Rhule was the guy I was talking about, by the way. And I remember because he's a Carolina Panther fan. I remember. All right, so let's bring into the line the one and only, the originator of Block Talk Radio, Dan the Man Wheeler, is with us.
Yes, everybody. I created Blog Talk Radio.
You did. I do give you full credit for it. So what's going on?
Not much for you, Roos. I just took a shower for our stinking ooses.
Yeah, I did that like over an hour ago, and I shaved because I wasn't feeling the gray beard. I needed to get rid of it, and it took a little longer for me to get rid of it. And I was just like, you know what? It's time for it to go. It was time. When you get to a certain age, I'm not really a beard person. I'm not. And now I'm in my 40s. So I'm at that stage. What? Yeah. I feel...
So nobody called your show?
Nah, nobody called. I'm not surprised. I booked it pretty late. Oh, I mean, there's still time for people to get in if they want to. If they want to. Oh, there is time. I am concerned about this game on Sunday. You might ask why. Well, what concerns me? The fact that things have gone well enough for the Giants. They have. With the 4-game win streak. Defense play, you know, doing a great job. The running game coming together with the offensive line. And maybe Andrew Thomas isn't going to be a bust after all. So that's good. The way the staff coaches and how prepared they are. It's just that the Cardinals come in with a 3-game losing streak. And I know, like, Murray's banged up. I've heard all this stuff before. It's just like, hey, they're dangerous. That's a pretty big game for them, too. They don't want to hang. So it's not going to be an easy game. That's my whole point. That's my point here, Dan.
Are they darklinged up dangerous?
You know what? I don't even know how to respond to that. I just know for the Giants, you know, to continue to have success, they're gonna have to play well defensively. Bradbury's gonna have to do a real good job against the best receiver in the game, DeAndre Hopkins. You still have to make sure you keep Kyler Murray inside the pocket and don't let him become a runner. I know that he's not running as much. So I just know that the Cardinals have talent. I know that the Giants have to continue to be able to run the football. They have to be able to control the terms, dictate the terms, and they can't have any unforced turnovers like that interception last week. It was credit to McCoy, but Ingram kind of had it go off him. And, you know, Evan Ingram could be a little bit better. Maybe he needs a game or, you know, I'm looking for Evan Ingram and I'm looking for Darius Slayton. I'm looking for those two guys to do something this weekend. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't even know if Daniel Jones is playing. there's that question mark too. So they got to keep it low scoring. That's how they win their games. I don't know. I mean,
will help or is this?
I mean, you're you know what I like about you? You know football better. You know football. I know you follow from the outside on my team, and you got a wealth of knowledge. You got more knowledge than me. I mean, I understand more in terms of, you know, what each team needs to be successful. You know, you have to be able to control the line of scrimmage, the offensive line, the defensive line, all that shit. And, you know, for so long, the Giants couldn't tackle. They couldn't get to the quarterback. They couldn't do anything. So, and they couldn't block. And I know how important it is to win at the takeaway game. But you've been watching, you've been following from the outside. I mean, you've, of course, the Panthers. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, you could take this in either direction. You want to talk about the Panthers, you could talk about the Giants. How do you – the Giants are, I think, they're 2.5-point underdogs, and I think at this point there's nothing wrong with them being underdogs against a team that is good. I think that's a good team, Arizona Cardinals. I don't have any problem with that.
It's all about the 6-10 division champion Giants, baby.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm actually looking here at, like, the – they always give you, like, the numbers. I'm on the Yahoo Sports, which is not all that great anymore, but, like, they give you, like, the totals, you know, where they rank, where your team ranks. Like, the Giants don't rank too high in passing yards per game. No surprise, you know. Go ahead and look at our receiver core. And Slayton's kind of had a little bit of a down year, and okay. But you know, but then again, of course, Jones, the turnovers, a lot of turnovers, hurt early, lost fumbles, interceptions, that hurts. And then they had McCoy last week, just for QB. All right, so I'll tell you where they're good. They're now up to 11th in rushing yards per game. That's after they couldn't run the football at all, and Barkley ripped, tore his MCL and ACL because they couldn't block early. I mean, they're up to 11th. They average 119, almost 120 yards a game. And that's all because of the improvement of the offensive line and because of Wayne Gallman. But it's really about the blocking. Where are they good? Rushing yards against. They allow less than 100, the Giants. They rank 4th. It's pretty good. Total yards against per game. The defense struggled at times. They're 10th now in total yards against per game, 339. That's not bad. They do struggle against passing yards against per. They still go up 242. That's 18th, so right in the middle of the pack. And I told you, and total yards per game, the Giants are 31st. they're not going to blow you away, you know. They're not going to blow you away. If they pull this off, Dan, they're probably going to need some help. That's how I feel about it, okay? That's how I feel. They've gotten help already. But I'm not looking at the Giants and saying, oh, they're going to run the table. We're going to win 8 straight games. Like, really? Really? We got the Cardinals this weekend. That's not a given tomorrow. And by the way, Dan, updating, it is 36 hours away from kickoff, basically. We're less than 36 hours away. I've become pretty good with this math. You know, I always mock JPG about math, but my math's not that bad, you know? It's not. I want to ask you, I want you to tell me a little more about the area that you live in, North Carolina, because I think you said there was a lake pretty close to you, and I wanted to find out more about how it's going so far for you.
Well, it's going good, Derek. Fire away.
Right. I mean,
what do you got?
You like it so far?
Yeah, I like it up here. I just look forward to starting my job and all that.
It's good.
Yeah.
How's your family doing over there?
They're doing all right. They're doing all right.
Did you speak to your father?
Yeah, I speak to him about every day.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because you guys have a little bit of a difference, you know, in the political stuff, I'm glad that you guys speak every day and have that. That's good. Do you guys talk about sports at all when you guys talk, or you guys just talk about life? What do you guys usually talk about?
A little bit of whatever, you know. But
good.
Around this time,
good.
It's just focusing on how tired he is from working.
Good. No, I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. I never asked you. I haven't asked you about your father. What are his favorite sports?
He likes football and basketball and of course baseball, and he doesn't get into hockey.
Okay.
He only follows soccer. My stepbrother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's about it.
I don't know. I just figured I'd ask. Is he a Panthers fan like you, or does he root for somebody else? I have to ask this.
They really don't have a team. He supports whatever I like, you know. So he hopes for the best for the Panthers, but.
What about baseball?
He's obviously a little biased to the Pirates, but he really don't have favorite teams. I mean, I guess the closest thing would be the Braves.
Really?
How was
the Braves? Cool.
Yep.
What was it like, actually? You got to hang out with Colin last week. That must have been a lot of fun. Watch football and hang out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good interacting with him, and I'm glad to have him nearby.
You know what? I have to follow this up with a JPG special, because it wouldn't be Derek Felix if I didn't. Was it solid for your horses?
It was solid for our horses.
If I didn't do that, then I wouldn't be Derek Felix. Then it wouldn't be the Derek Felix show, which I'm considering changing to a different name. But I have to get the Colin War Cattady seal of approval, because I'm thinking about changing it to something more Colin-esque. That's your head. I'm thinking about doing something different. But we'll see. We'll see.
What are you going to call it? The Mike Lupica show?
No. I would never. Why would I do that? What's wrong with
you,
man?
Lupica.
No, well, look. You know what?
No.
Mike Lupica is just another. He's just like most media people. I don't know. I mean, it's weird. It's like. Like, I don't really care for Larry Brooks. Larry Brooks has been covering the Rangers for a long-ass time, and he's been on the hockey beat for the New York Post, since 1977. Like, I was a year old when he started covering hockey, you know? And he's a Hall of Fame writer, and he's had a Sunday column that's always been really good. It's called Slap Shots. But some of the stuff that he started, like, writing about, it's like, I don't. Sometimes he writes good columns, and then sometimes he writes bad columns that I just like make me shake my head. Like, what's wrong with this guy? It's like, but like, I'll still read them. But when he was interviewed, right? They had him on with the WFAN before with Chris Moore, who knows hockey and actually mm-hmm. likes hockey, and that's a rarity on WFAN these days, aside from Steve Summers. But mm-hmm. and Chris Moore used to actually, I think, broadcast games in Florida for the Panthers. So let's just put it this way. When Larry Brooks makes a rare radio appearance, because he doesn't do many radio spots, he's a much better interview than he is a writer for some reason. I don't know why. And I've noticed this about other people, even Lupica, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that is?
Lupica.
I don't know. It's just strange to me. That's all. It's very strange.
Man.
I listened to his spot, and I agreed with a lot of things that he said about, you know, the NHL. You know, they're targeting this off January 13th. I think that's when they want to mm-hmm. begin the 2021 season. Myself, and this is before I heard Larry Brooks talk, I thought that January 20th was more realistic. You know, maybe late January was going to be more realistic for them to start. But he said that he felt that starting January 13th would be unrealistic. Because, if they started at January 13th, that means your training camps are going to be very short. They're going to come in January 2nd, right after the new year. I mean, I know these guys are skating and they're doing their work, but going from January 2nd to January 13th and you're starting up your season, that's not long. That's not long enough to me. To me, they should have at least 2 weeks, maybe start January 27th, or maybe start February 1st. I actually think Brooks made more sense. He sounded like me, and it was an interesting point. That's all. It was actually interesting to hear somebody say a little bit, think a little bit similar to what I had to say. Oh, by the way, I'm blocked by Larry Brooks on Twitter. I figured you'd like that.
Mm-hmm.
I got myself blocked. That's because he says things that I don't always agree with, and of course, so I earned a block. I kept, you know what got me blocked? If you really want to, this is actually a funny story. What got me blocked?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to know what got me blocked?
Sure, and then I'm going to go to bed because I'm getting really tired. Sorry, Dan.
No, it's okay. I don't care. This show is only going to I guess the show's going to be short anyway, but I got blocked. I was reading his preview, right? Preview for Islanders Flyers, second round matchup. And I looked at what he said about the coaching matchup, right? Between Alain Vigneault, mm-hmm. my favorite coach, and Barry Trotz. And he called the matchup even. He said that it was an even matchup. And I was like, you know, I like Alain Vigneault, and he's a nice guy and all, but Barry Trotz is like the best coach in the league. I would probably give the edge to Trotz. So I think during the series when the Islanders were like dominating the Flyers on 5-on-5, I think I tweeted him. I tweeted something about that to him, and he probably was like, "Oh, I can't stand this anymore." He probably had enough and blocked me. This is who I am. This is what you get.
Well, Derek, it's been real.
All right, Dan, you sound like you're tired.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired.
It's okay. All right, Dan, I appreciate you calling in, though, all right? And
you're welcome, buddy.
Have yourself a good evening, okay?
You too. Good night, buddy.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow. All right, bye.
That is the one and only Dan Wheeler. Yeah, you could just tell he was a little bit out of it tonight. That's okay. It's okay. I slept a lot today. I just was not feeling good. So we got 14 minutes to play with here. What I'm going to do here is I'm just going to spin around here. I've talked about the Giants. I've talked about this game with the Cardinals. I said enough about that. The hockey stuff with Brooks, that's interesting. Yes, I actually put up a blog about it over at newyorkpuck.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's my regular Twitter account is at dflex2123. I don't think it matters if it's lowercase or caps, so very easy to remember. DFLEX2123. If you want links to some of these shows, I mean, you can follow us on blogtalkradio.com. Just punch in Hard Hits 21 at the end, or follow the Hard Hits Network. You can follow Hard Hits Network on Twitter. That's the name of my Twitter account for the Hard Hits. It's Hard Hits Network. I will try to provide some links. I probably would recommend. I don't recommend streaming online. Really, it's not like we have much of a following right now, but I would definitely recommend the iTunes. I need to do more research in how we could make this available in other podcast formats, so we could make it more available, readily available for download. So that would be a good move. I want to switch up a little bit. I mean, we don't have to talk football. I don't have to do that. I've talked about a lot of different things. I want to talk a little bit about college basketball for a second. So, the coronavirus, it's wreaking havoc on the college, on the beginning of the college basketball season. There has been over 100 cancellations of games or postponements or what have you. And you have coaches that have come out on both sides of the issue. Mike Krzyzewski knows more about the game. He forgot more about the game than most of the younger coaches. And yes, his Duke Blue Devils, they did lose to Illinois, and they're off to a bad start. But I think when it comes to the coronavirus and some of the positives that have come up, and the fact that the big game between Baylor and Gonzaga did not come off last week, and teams, if they do have a positive, whether it's personnel or a player, they have to do the mandatory 14-day quarantine like Connecticut Huskies had to do with St. John's. I was originally supposed to play them tonight, but that didn't happen. They lost to Seton Hall. Seton Hall seems to own them, especially in when they played them there in Jersey. But kind of feel like Krzyzewski's right. That doesn't have to do with how his team's doing. This has to do with common friggin' sense. It does. I mean, Duke has canceled the rest of its non-conference schedule for now. So, no, they're not going to be playing against Charleston Southern. They're 2-2 team. They're not playing Charleston Southern tomorrow. That's canceled. Gonzaga, of course, they're under the 14-day quarantine. They're not going to play Northern Arizona later today. That's not happening. Postponements, Virginia against William & Mary, that is postponed. Postponed. The Houston Cougars, they're nationally ranked. They're good. I mean, they were good a couple of years ago. They're number 7 ranked. They're 4-0. Rice is 4-0. That's postponed. So maybe they'll try to reschedule it. So the point being that when you have all these different cancellations and postponements, it's not good. It's not good for the sport. It's not good for college athletics. It's not good, period. So maybe they should take a pause. We're coming up on the holidays. We're on the second night of Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah to everybody out there that celebrates. I'm one of them. So to all my Jewish brethren out there, happy Hanukkah. Celebrate the miracle of lights. And
be good out there. We got Christmas coming up in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks now. But you know, the weather's getting colder. So, and you know, it's not like they're playing in bubbles. Yes, there's no fans, but everybody's tested daily. But I think I kind of agree with Coach K. I kind of do, but and I feel like the NCAA is just, they're not doing a good job. They're not. Gonzaga played a game that shouldn't have played earlier. Was that like maybe 2 weeks ago? I don't really understand why. UCLA is winning games. Maybe they actually have a good team for a change. But and these teams, some of these schools are saying we're doing what's best for us. Well, maybe what's best for you is a little bit selfish when it comes to this pandemic and the fact that they've given the approval, the okay for people to start getting vaccinated. Well, that's a good thing. It's a plus. So what would be the big deal if you paused until, say, where are we, December 12th? Well, unofficially. I mean, on the East Coast it is. But what if you paused until, I don't know, say, like, the first week of January or maybe the beginning of the second week of January and people got vaccinated? Maybe it'd be better. You could still have a college basketball season. I mean, the Ohio State played 5 freaking games, and they're playing in the Big Ten championship game. To Indiana's credit, they did not protest. Their coach said all the right things. They didn't beat Ohio State when they played them. And just because Michigan canceled the Ohio State game, Ohio State's still going to play Northwestern for the Big Ten title. And if they win, they're likely going to advance to the BCS, the Bowl Championship Series, which will likely, well, in all guaranteed, pretty much you'll have Clemson there. Oh, well, that's right. They still got to play the AC title game against Notre Dame rematch. What if they lost the rematch? 2 losses. Would they be excluded? Would they maybe bump up a Texas A&M or Florida? I don't know. You don't really know. I think Brian had a really good take on this. He said that in this kind of a year, they should have expanded the Bowl Championship Series to maybe make it bigger, maybe whether it's 8 teams or 12 teams, just because not everybody's playing the same amount of games. I agree with that. And now there's this article about why the Rose Bowl may be in serious jeopardy. Would that be because it's played in California and Newsom is just completely out of his mind? He really is out of his mind. You know what? I mean, whatever side you are on, they have totally politicized this thing, and I don't like it one bit. So I read a lot about high school athletics. They still cross country track. You know, they didn't have any meets out here in Staten Island, but they still managed to have some cross country events in Vanderbilt Park and do some other things so that they could have some kind of season, which is good for the seniors. But they're considering doing indoor, going from having the indoor track season outdoors. That sounds a little bit crazy to me, but I kind of understand, like, you don't want to be indoors because it's more of a spread. This is more of a spread indoors, this virus. You're gonna have it outdoors? I mean, you run cross country meets, you know, usually the city champs and the state champs are like in mid November, and it could be really cold. I ran in a meet where it was like 32 degrees on November 7th, 1992. It was freezing. But I don't know about having the indoor season like that. You know, you're talking about snow. We're supposed to be getting some snow pretty soon. So The weather's good right now, but it might not, it's not to be, it's supposed to not be so good in about a week from now. So, less than a week. So we'll see. I feel bad, though. I feel bad. How about, like, all the high school basketball teams? I mean, how many are really playing? What are they doing? Yeah, I mean, it's not good. It's not a good situation. You know, whether people like it or not, this thing affects so many people. That just airhead is basically no more indoor. Like, they limited indoor, like, people who wanted to eat at restaurants indoors to, like, maybe 20% or 25% of capacity. And there wasn't even a lot of positives. The percentage wasn't even a lot of, it was like 1.4% of coronavirus. So, and now they're going to close off indoor eating. They're going to close off indoors starting Monday. I think if they're trying to kill small businesses, well, guess what? You're good job. Good job there. I mean, because that's not the problem. That's not the problem at all. And this is the problem with how things are. So, I did college basketball. Yeah, I talked a little bit about that. I talked a little bit about college football. I talked through in the NFL with the Giants. And I'm guarded about this game. So I'm guarded about the game. And I do think Washington will win their game against the 49ers. So, I mean, there's pressure. There will be pressure here for the Giants, especially when they have the Cleveland Browns on the schedule, a Sunday night football game flexed. And that was the right call because the original game was supposed to be 49ers-Cowboys. But, Brett on this game, but not that I care particularly much at all. But then the Giants got the Cardinals at home. They've got the Browns at home. They've got at the Ravens. And then they have the Cowboys coming to play in New Jersey. So, I mean, three of the four games are home games. But the Giants are going to have to take care of business. They still have to take care of business. So, look, I would love to see them get in the playoffs. I would. But I don't want them to get in if they're 5-11 or 6-10. I mean, I think you got to win at least – you're going to have to win at least two games. You're probably going to have to win at least two, maybe three. It's going to be tough. It will be tough. Is there anything else I wanted to nothing doing on the baseball front. They had a winter meetings. Of course they did it. You know, basically the way they do everything through phone or conference, and nothing really happened. Nothing happened. So we're still left wondering, you know, is DJ LeMahieu going to resign with the Yankees eventually? Or the Yankees lose so much money that they won't do it? They're not going to go 5 years with him. There's a lot of questions. The overtime, I'm just going to do a little bit on basketball. Knicks played their first preseason game, and then maybe a little more after that, and that will be it. Thank you for listening to this show, and we'll see you all next time. All right. Okay.
As long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. Show nothing to me, so what good would live?
All right, a little Beach Boys there. Classic right there, God Only Knows. Whenever I hear that song, I always think of The Wonder Years of Kevin Arnold. When he breaks up with him, breaks his heart. But, yeah, where they ride on, where their buses go different ways, school buses. Great song, though, a great song. And this is Overtime. This is the Derek Felix Show. One and only D-Flex here instead of out in New York. Not going to do too much here. I talked a little bit about how the weather meetings were a waste. I just think that things are going to be slow. I think that's just how it's going to be. You know, I think a lot of teams are, they're going to be a lot more cautious with some of the things. We did hear about the Yankees maybe talking to the Pirates about Jameson, Talon, and even Josh Bell. I don't know how that would play out. I know that James and Talon has got some ability that I do know. And he's young. And well, he's already 29. I didn't even realize that. Wow. Well, he's arbitration eligible and not a free agent until 2023. I mean, his career numbers are good. He's 29 and 24 with a 3.67 ERA. He wasn't healthy. He 37 innings, 34 hits, 30 strikeouts, 8 walks. So, I mean, good control. 4.10 ERA for the Pirates. The Pirates are terrible. They're like a farm system anyway. You know, his age 26 season was good. It was 14 wins. He won 14 games in the Pirates. 14-10, 3.20. 32 starts, the only year he's been totally healthy. 2 complete games, a shutout, 179 strikeouts in 191 innings, 46 walks. Not bad. This is an interesting. It would be interesting to acquire a guy like that. You know, that's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah, maybe that's a better idea than just. If they are trying to save money, but you know, you still have to. You obviously have to give something up to get the guy. Josh Bell is a streaky first baseman with some pop from the left side. I think he has hit over 30 home runs once for the Pirates. I think he's around maybe the same age. Yeah, he's 28. Okay. He strikes out. Well, he walks and he'll strike out. He hit 37 home runs in 2019. He was All-Star. He would get. I mean, if they did acquire a Josh Bell, that would give you that left-handed bat. Oh, he's a switch hitter actually too. I didn't even realize that. But most of the pop is from that left side. I like Josh Bell. I do. To a point. What's the plan with Luke Voit though? If they went and acquired him. Yeah, I read an interesting article in the Post about how Carl Stanton's contract is really hurting the Yankees, and it is. And it has nothing to do with Carl Stanton not being a good teammate. It has nothing to do with how well he performed in October. He proved that he can perform in October, and he's got the power. It's just that they have so much money tied up in him. They paid Gerrit Cole a just ridiculous amount of money last year, and then all of a sudden the pandemic hit. So the Yankees lost a lot of money. And now, you know, they're trying to decide on DJ LeMahieu. I think 5 years for $100 million, I would do it. You know why? I'll tell you why. And even if it's a player option or a team option, whatever the hell it is, to get it done or whatever incentives. I know DJ's 32. I get it. And he's not 33 until mid-July next year. DJ has been the Yankees' best player the last 2 years. I wanted him here, and I mean, the guy played third base. Then all of a sudden he became their second baseman. Then he played first. He's good defensively. He's a Gold Glover at second. He's got speed. He can hit to all fields. He won a batting title. He finished second in MVP. He was top. Yeah, he was in the top 4 of MVP twice. Yeah, I mean, or was top 5. So, I heard Steve Summers say something earlier, WFN, a guy that I respect, said, you're not worried about year four. I mean, most of, you know, anytime you give a contract to a guy in his 30s or even anybody, oh, what are you going to do? You're going to worry about what, where they are in the fourth year or the fifth year. You're worried about winning. That's what it's really about. Yeah, if they want to win, I think DJ LeMahieu makes them a better team. Unless they really have decided that Gleyber Torres should shift and move back to second base and they want to bring in a different shortstop. And I really don't see Francisco Lindor coming to the Yankees. I think they'd have to give up too much to the Indians. The Indians, they always wanted too much from the Yankees. They always want too much from the Yankees. And the cost that out, how much money they'd have to pay him. I think he's more of a fish for the Mets than Steve Cohen. That's what I think. I expect them to sign George Springer. I expect them to trade for Lindor. Those are the two Mets moves that I see. I think Trevor Bauer will wind up somewhere else. Okay. And I know Tanaka, I don't think Tanaka's going to be coming back anytime soon. And that's too bad. But I like Tanaka. I love him. And the guy is a really good pitcher in October. I don't think it would cost that much. What are you talking about? 2 years? Maybe 2 years and like $30 million? Or 2 years and $35 million for a guy that's been a good pitcher for you? Even if it was 2 years and 18.5 or whatever it is, I would take him back. Corey Kluber is an interesting guy, but he's 35 years old. He's had injuries. He could be a short-term guy, but you just don't know. I mean, is he going to stay healthy? The Mets, of course, are linked to the catcher, James McCann, younger brother of Brian, four-year contract. They're still trying to iron out the details. It has to do with money. Everything has to do with money. That's because Real Muto does not want to play in New York. And Real Muto wants mega money. He wants a crazy contract. I wouldn't give him 7 years, whatever the hell he wants. I think James McCann is a fine option. He's 30. His production is really good. So it seems like he's figured it out. I don't know how good he is on the plate, though. I know that Romito is the best catcher. Nobody talks about Salvador Perez. You know, Salvador Perez got one more year left with the Royals. He was comeback player of the year. He still is a really good hitter. He is proven. He's a 5-time Gold Glove winner. He's won a World Series. He hits for power. He came back and hit over 300 for the Royals, for crying out loud, 11 home runs, 32 RBIs. What about his defense? Did his defense decline? I mean, he missed the whole year. I don't know. So I mean, he's also 30. I don't know. I mean, he's got 1 year left. I don't think the Royals are going to be re-signing him. I don't see that happening. He's slated to make $14.2 million in 2021 for his age 31 year. And then he could be a free agent. Be a trade guy. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't really fit in with their rebuild. And nobody talks about Salvador Perez. Salvador Perez has been one of the best catchers in the game for a long time before he missed 2019. And that 5-year, $52.5 million contract was a bargain for what he gave them. I would say so. He's always been really good. He had a strong arm behind the plate. I don't know. I'd have to look at the defensive statistics. Yeah, how did he do? Did he take a step down? Yes. Quad stealing. And he still threw out 26%. He used to be much higher, though. He threw out 48% in 2018, 2016, 48%. 30%, 27% in 2017, 27% again, and 20 base runners. Oh, okay, never mind. 11. He had 11 runners, 8 stole on him. So he was 3 for 11. It's not that high. I don't know. Maybe. Usually, you know, your range goes down. He missed a year, the surgery. So, but his offense, his bat did not suffer. Salvador Perez is a really good catcher. Nobody talks about him. So, I don't know. The Knicks, yes, there is preseason basketball to talk about. They played their first preseason game. The season starts December 22nd, I believe. That's only 11 days away. It's 10 days away now. I think the NBA, without a bubble, it's a lot of risk there. And that's another thing Larry Brooks pointed out when he was talking with Chris Moore of WFN about how that's all going to work. Plus, they have division realignment. I think the NHL should not start on January 13th. I think it's too soon. The NBA, I think they're starting. They're risking the same thing. Knicks 190-84 against Detroit. All the talk was about Obi Toppin. Toppin's debut with the Knicks off the bench. 11 points and 7 rebounds for Obi Toppin. Sounded like he did good. He showed a lot of athleticism. He did pick up 4 fouls, so needs a little work defensively. Shooting, he was 4 for 9 from the field, 0 for 2 from 3, 3 for 5 from the line. 7 rebounds, 5 on the defensive glass, and 2 on the offensive, and a block shot. Kid out of Dayton. I think he's going to be a good one. Thibodeau will have an interesting decision to make there with Toppin. Julius Randle started. Julius Randle was the Knicks' best player last year, despite the fact that he's a flawed player. We know this. 11 points for him, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. R.J. Barrett, R.J. looking to improve on his shooting, 7 for 16 from the field, but he missed all 4 of his 3-point attempts, so it's not good. 15 points, though, 15 points and 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Nerlens Noel was an interesting signing. I like the signing. He's got the start at center in this game. 10 points, 8 rebounds, 2 block shots. You know, Nerlens Noel is a good two-way player. I think he is a starter in this league. But he did start in this one. Mitch Robinson came off the bench, only 2 points, 7 rebounds, 2 block shots, and 4 steals. You know what the whole thing there is? Noel is probably a little better developed offensively because he's older. Of course, another Kentucky product, and there's a lot of Kentucky products on this team. Randall, Noel. Who else? Quickly did not play in this game. So no Quickly. He did not debut in this game. Kevin Knox played. He didn't really do that much. Scored 5 points in 17 minutes. No 3-pointers, 0 for 3 from 3. Frank Ntilikina and Dennis Smith Jr. both played. Both had 7 points. Both turned it over 4 times. Smith had 2 assists. Ntilikina had 0. Ntilikina had 5 rebounds. Smith had 1. Both guys hit a 3-point shot. They're kind of battling against each other. Alfred Payton is the starting point guard, as he should be. They re-signed him for a little less. 10 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists. And this guy's a good two-way player. He is a good two-way player. All right, he's not going to blow you away stats-wise, but he can fill the stat sheet, though. He's a solid point guard. He's really not a starting point guard on a better roster. He would be a really good backup, though. Alec Burks got the start. At the 2 spot, I think that was a good signing, coming off a good year. 3 for 7, 1 for 3 for 1 tray, 4 rebounds, 7 points. Look, this is just preseason. I don't know. They won the game. Reggie Bullock had a 3 and had 5 points. I don't know. How much can you really assess? I didn't watch it. Well, no Austin Rivers. He did not play. Jared Harper did not play. Miles Powell, kid from Seton Hall, he didn't play. He's probably going to be also for MBDL. If they have Ali Quigley, did not play from Kentucky. Mr. Rivers did not play. Omari Spellman. Well, he got back in that trade. I like that trade. He didn't play either. Kid from and Omari Spellman, I hope that he makes the roster. He can play a little bit. The Pistons, Derrick Rose played. He had 10 points, 2 assists off the bench. Griffin, 9 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Blake Griffin's massively overrated. We know this. Clippers made a good move getting rid of him. That kid Bay played for them. He had 14 points. Did he not play for Sadiq Bay? Yeah, he played for Villanova. Yeah, he was a first-round pick. Yeah, he had a nice game for them. Okay, so there's really not much here to go off of. No, there isn't much. Obviously, Ben Ellington now plays for the Pistons. Jahlil Okafor is now on them. He's really moved around a lot. Not a lot to go on here. It's preseason. There's hardly any games. Let me take a look quickly. I know the Rockets played without James Harden, who he's hoping to get traded. God, what a prima donna, really. Half the league's prima donnas. John Wall actually had a good debut for them. They won 125-104 over the Bulls, who were just awful. Wall, 13 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds. That's good. 2 steals. Had a good game. Eric Gordon still there. He had 14 points, 5 rebounds for Cousins. Yeah, they signed him. Maybe Harden should just... they still kept most of their roster. I know. What would be wrong with Harden playing with John Wall? And you have Eric Gordon come off the bench. Wall-Harden backcourt would be pretty good, wouldn't it? Am I wrong about that? Macklemore still plays, is still a nice solid backup for them. Gerald Green still come off the bench. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, he wants to get traded. Anybody do anything remotely for the Bulls? Kobe White. 15 points and 6 assists under Billy Donovan. Zach LaVine, massively overpaid. DPG was right about him. 12 points. 13 for Markkanen. He's been a big disappointment for them. I thought he would be better. Just really not a lot to look at here. These are just NBA preseason damn games. Why don't I look here? Lakers played against the Clips. I hate the Lakers. There's really not much else to look at here. Paul George, 10 points, and they gave him this big $215 million extension. What the hell for? Terrence Mann played. You can't really base anything off preseason. Nobody really played for the Lakers in this game. They still won the game. I mean, what about Orlando and Atlanta? 116, 112 Orlando. I think they're a playoff team. I think Atlanta could be a playoff team, too, for some of the moves they made. Orlando played all their starters, and they all hit double digits. So that's good for them, including Fultz with 10 points and 4 assists. Carter Williams off the bench. Oh, Anthony, he still plays? No, that can't be the same guy. It can't be. What about the Hawks? DeAndre Hunter, 18 points. John Collins, 14 points and 9 rebounds. Bogdanovich, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. I think that was a good pickup for them. Trae Young, 6 assists, 7 points, 6 turnovers. Not good. Cam Reddish, 13 off the bench with 8 rebounds. Not bad. Gallinari had 14. They have enough players where they probably should be competing for the playoffs. They should compete for the playoffs. They should. There's a lot of guys, though, when you look at box scores from preseason, you're not going to recognize. So I don't even know what the hell the point of doing overtime was. It is Cole. Oh, it's Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony, the kid. That's right. They drafted him on Magic. And he had 10 points. Greg Anthony's kid. He had 10 points off the bench with 3 assists. He had 5 fouls and was 3 for 10 from the field. It said that he played like a rookie. Well, whatever. He's young and he dropped to 15th. He was originally supposed to go a lot higher. Maybe they could figure it out with him. He's got a lot of potential. He did not play the way he could have played for North Carolina. It's true. Maybe the Magic got themselves a steal. Who knows? My dad talked a lot about him because he knew who he was because I think he refed some of his games. Everybody talked about Cole Anthony. Sometimes I think these kids would benefit from playing another year of college. But look, he wanted to go pro. Most kids want to go pro, and they did. Halliburton debuted for Sacramento off the bench. He didn't do much either. 5 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and almost 20 minutes. They played Portland. They lost by a lot. They lost big. Buddy Hield, 23. Buddy Hield's going to be a free agent, though. Fox, 10.6. He's making a big pot of money. Bagley didn't play. Lillard, McCollum. Solid games, especially for McCollum. And does Carmelo play? Oh, Carmelo had a good game. 21 off the bench. Did a roll off the bench now. 21 points for him. 8-13 shooting. 3 for 3 from downtown. 2 for 2 from the free throw line. 4 rebounds. 2 assists. Good game for him. Who's this Giles guy? Gary Trent Jr. I know who he is. What about this Giles guy? Who's he? That's right. They have Zach Collins. They have Roddy Hood. You know, they have a good roster, Portland. They do have good players. Zach Collins is a good player. Trent Jr. Melo. I think Melo on that bench role as a six man, that could work. Potentially. They also traded for Covington, Robert Covington. They got him from the Rockets. Cantor returning to Portland. He knows the system. He knows the coach. 11 rebounds. Look. They have a quality roster, this team. Narcir Little, Nurkic, they didn't play. David Hood. I just feel what it is. Harry Giles. Okay, the problem that I see, especially with Klay Thompson down for the year for Golden State, I don't think anybody is on the level of the Lakers. Nobody's on that level. Nobody is. And, I know it sounds like a broken record, and I thought I picked the Clippers last year. But I look at the fact that what they added, Harrell, getting Montrezl Harrell, and adding Dennis Schroeder and Wesley Matthews to LeBron or LaFraud, because I just can't stand him, and Anthony Davis, who is just tremendous, and they have Kuzma, they still kept him, they have other guys like Alex Caruso, Caldwell Pope off the bench, Quinn Cook. I don't understand why the Warriors gave up on him. Marc Gasol as well too, even if he's almost at the end. But I mean, they have a lot more depth to their team. They do have a lot more depth. I understand that Serge Ibaka went to the Clips. I like Ibaka. I'd rather have Montrezl Harrell because he's younger. But Ibaka, he can shoot the three. Nicholas Batum, it's okay. Zubac, that was a good move by the Clips getting him from the Lakers. That was one of the Lakers' dumb moves, but they're the defending champs. It doesn't even matter anymore. Like, to me, it looks to me like the Lakers and Clippers are just, they're going to be better than everybody. You could throw the Nuggets in there because the Nuggets are, Nuggets really did give the Lakers a real good series. The Mavs, I don't know if they're on that level. In the East, the East is more wide open. Kyrie Irving's just a complete idiot. He's talking about how he's not talking to the press, so he's getting fined. The NBA's fined him a bunch of money. I think it was something like $20,000 or $25,000. And I think he's going to donate it, though, so that's, at least that's good. But he said that he's not going to talk to any reporters because they're pawns. They're pawns. And my reaction to that, Maria Marino, she does really good work with SNY, New York. She tweeted that. And I think I had a response on Twitter where I said, you know, pawns, what did I say? I said, pawns are really good in chess. That was my response because I've started playing chess, and I had another draw, of course, before. It seems like I always do. But she liked my tweet because I have a sense of humor, man. I do. You know what I need to do? I need to get, like, Maria Marino to, like, come on this podcast because that would be fun. I like to pick her brain. She played a lot of volleyball, actually. She was a volleyball player. She definitely seems like she's fun, and it seems like she knows her stuff. And I watched her on SNY in New York, and seems like aside from the fact that she's nice looking, but she just has a lot of knowledge. And I kind of need to change the format of the show and maybe book some guests. That's the way to do it. That's gonna do it for this edition. Mostly solo. I want to thank Dan Wheeler for calling in. Thank you, Dan. You didn't have to, but you were tired. But I really appreciate you calling in. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna play a couple songs, and then we're going to call it a night. So I think you know what's coming. This is dedicated to our double talking governor who doesn't realize what the hell he's doing. Here you go.
I used to be such a sweet, sweet thing.
There you go. A little double play for Alice Cooper right there. As we get ready to wrap up this show, this is the Derek Felix Show, and I am Derek Felix, D-Flex, host here of the Derek Felix Show here on the Hearts Network. Thanks to Block Talk Radio for letting me host, as usual. Covered a lot of different stuff, so it was good. And then we heard from Alice Cooper, a little bit of Poison, and of course, No More Mr. Nice Guy. No More Mr. Clean. God, I love that song. I can never get enough of that. I'm probably going to do another show tomorrow. I don't know what's going on with the other show, but maybe I'll do a prediction show for Sunday games. So maybe, and if I do, I'll do that earlier in the day. I'm gonna play a song that I haven't heard in a long time, and this will be the one that I wrap it up with for
from Duran Duran. This is the one and only Derek Felix signing off. Enjoy. See you later.